So we're talking with Blair Horner, Executive Director of NYPIRG, who is celebrating or observing his 45th anniversary shortly. But Blair, now that elections are over with, looks like the Democrats have firm control of the Senate, what are some of your NYPIRG's hopes and expectations for the upcoming session?
Well, the one thing that's changed now in Albany is that the era of finger-pointing and blaming the other political party now has passed. And there are a number of issues that have been jammed up for whatever reason over the many years that we've been working here that now have an opportunity for things to happen. So I expect that there'll be a package of voting reforms that will pass. What will be in them? It's still not clear. Who will chair the relevant committees? We don't know. But I think it's pretty clear that the Senate Democrats in particular want to move a package of bills. They made a big deal out of it in the last couple of years. And it's certainly in the party's interest to make it easier for people to vote in a state that's increasingly blue, moving to cobalt blue the way it's looking. So I expect that there will be something there. There's been a lot of discussion about closing the limited liability company loophole, which allows LLC businesses to make huge campaign contributions as compared to other businesses. In the past, Democrats have said they supported public financing, voluntary system of public financing of elections, but I haven't heard much talk about that since they took over, so we'll see. But I think in the campaign finance area, closing the limited liability company loophole is one place that they will go. There's been a lot about talk about ethics, but it's all been vague. There was very little talked about in terms of the environment, so it's not entirely clear what's going to happen there. I mean, the governor, I assume, will continue to do his work on whatever he's doing on climate change. I think the issue of drinking water contamination could be an issue that pops up to the surface as the session rolls on, but there wasn't a lot of talk about it during the campaign. There's seems to be a lot of overlap among the leadership on dealing with issues on rent control because the law expires this year, but what they're going to do is unclear. There was a lot of discussion, I think probably unanimity on expanding abortion rights, gun control in particular. And so there's a lot of issues. I think that there'll be a lot of activity in the beginning of this legislative session, particularly depending on what the governor puts in his budget, and that will break the logjam on a lot of different issues. And so, you know, every election I'm always hopeful. I'm hopeful still.
Now, one of the issues that seems to get a lot more attention since the election was over with, suddenly we've discovered the need to raise the state legislative salaries. And there has been discussions in exchange for that. We perhaps should look at limits on outside income or other ways to make sure that we're not doing so much outside influence on legislators. What do you think some of those issues should be tied to any legislative pay increase?
Well, you know, we're a little cautious about linking pay increases to anything. I mean, the problem you have with executive and legislative compensation is it's always done as part of some sort of political deal and not what is real, what is a reasonable thing for them. We believe there should be an independent commission that has no ties to the governor and the legislature to figure out what's an appropriate level of compensation. If you look at the data now, New York has the third highest paid governor in the country. It has the third highest base salary for legislature of anywhere in the country. And on top of it, New York has a very generous stipend program where virtually, I believe, every senator is eligible for a stipend from anywhere to $9,000 to $41,500 more than the base salary of $79,500. In the Assembly, all the Assembly Republicans get a stipend or are eligible for a stipend. And a majority, although not all, of the Assembly Democrats. So what's the right way to do that is an interesting question. I think it should be tied, if anything, to reforming the system where you're allowed to get a $41,000 stipend on top of a $79,000 salary. The governor's raised the issue of limiting outside income. The vast majority of members in both houses either have no outside reported income or very little, roughly 40. We looked at this, put out something this morning, 44 out of 63 senators have either no or a little outside income. And 106 of the 150 state assembly members have no or very little outside reported income. So the outside income issue, I think, is legitimate. We support limits on outside income because when you're an elected official, you should serve one master, not two. But the impact would be somewhat limited since the vast majority of lawmakers don't do it. And then sort of the devil depends on the details. So lawmakers haven't had a pay raise in 20 years. From our view, whatever the adequate compensation level should be set by people who do not have a stake in the outcome. And that's the problem that we have right now. And so we'll see what happens.
Now, you mentioned that the environment didn't get much attention during the recent, at least state-level races.
Other than comptroller.
You know, one of the issues that NYPERG and others had worked on had been the issue of trying to limit plastic bags or ban plastic bags, and that was an issue that the governor and the legislature had overrode the New York City bill that it took 5 years to pass. What thoughts do you have on the plastic bag issue or other key environmental issues?
Well, to me, I mean, you know, when you look at the issues, I mean, on the plastic bag stuff, there was no real movement on it last year. Whether or not that changes in the Senate is unclear. The key individual who really led the charge to get rid of the New York City law, although allowed all the other localities to have laws, was State Senator from Brooklyn, Simca Felder, who was the sort of the key guy in the Senate, the kingmaker. He's now not the kingmaker since the Democrats have 39 votes, and if Felder joins them, they'll have 40, which is the biggest Senate majority for any political party in decades. Whether or not he plays that same role is unclear, but the big issues are climate change and drinking water, in our view, and climate change is a function of energy policy and how much the state helps to make solar power work better. I mean, there's been a collapse in the commercial solar market on Long Island because of changes the Cuomo administration has made in terms of how they get paid. The state should clean up its act to make sure we are getting the biggest amount of clean energy possible, and I think the state needs to do more to ensure that the drinking water supplies and surface freshwater supplies are protected both from climate change and industrial legacy, and that's going to cost bucks. And so I think that those two issues are going to be big issues for the upcoming session. What happens with plastics, certainly a legitimate garbage-related issue. By the way, I would argue that solid waste may turn out to be a big issue because China stops being our garbage landfill now. There's a number of big ticket items on the environmental agenda that will have to be addressed.
Well, one of those issues which NYPERG has really been, you know, famous for decades has been the issue of the New York City subways with the strap hangers campaign. Everybody says we need to fix the subways, a big ticket item. You know, what is NYPERG hoping to see?
Well, I mean, you got to come up with new money. I mean, the state's facing a budget deficit for the upcoming fiscal year. We just talked about drinking water needs, which is really state money. There are going to be a whole host of other issues that are going to have some costs associated with them. And you're right, the mass transit system in the city of New York and the commuter rails are a serious problem downstate. And that's a big energy issue. It's a big climate change issue because if people are moving around the city in cars, that's bad for the environment and it's bad for people's lungs and the congestion of the city itself. So I think they're going to have to come up with a new funding source. It seems like there's some agreement to try to do something about congestion pricing, which is basically putting tolls or some mechanism in place to collect money for people who drive into Manhattan in particular. They're going to have to come up with new money because to fix the subway system is going to cost tens of billions of dollars. The state has kicked the can so long that the bill now has come due. Now, how they're going to do that with budget deficit and other important financial pressures is still unclear. But I think there's going to be a consensus among the governor and the legislative leaders that they have to do something about mass transit in the city, particularly the MTA. And my guess is that we'll see some version of a new fee of some sort, a tax or a congestion pricing system that has to be put in place to come up with the money.
Now, later this week, NYPERG is having an event in New York City to mark its 45th anniversary. You know, what are some of your, I don't know, highlights looking back over the last 45 years and, you know, where does NYPERG go heading forward?
Well, you're right. NYPERG is 45 years old, sort of amazing. The idea was created by a bunch of college students back in the early to mid-1970s. I think one of them I'm looking at right now was involved.
And I remember the first bill we actually passed was a bill on about hearing aids. And so now I can take advantage of that.
That's right. And so, so we're having a big event to celebrate our 45th anniversary. We typically do these every 5 years. It's to some extent to help raise money for the issues that we work on. It's also a way for sort of a high school reunion equivalent for the NYPIRG generations. Over the many years, I mean, there's lots of legislative initiatives and policy changes that we've worked on. But I think the single biggest testament to our existence has been the fact that we've churned out lots of activists with skills to become successful in the advocacy world and in the citizenship world. That is, I think, our biggest achievement, if you want to call it that, and that's what we're supposed to do. And we're having an event to celebrate that and to celebrate the work of another organization, the Rockefeller Family Fund, because really NYPIRG is part of a movement. It's not just one thing all by itself. It's part of a movement that believes that the public interest is best protected when citizens are engaged and fighting for the issues that they care about. And those residents of the state can be old, middle-aged, or young, but it's important to get people educated and organized and engaged in the big policy issues of the year. And we've talked about some of the ones that are coming up.
And people want more information about NYPIRG, get involved, how best they do that?
Probably the easiest way is to go to the website, NYPIRG, NYPIRG.org, NYPIRG.org.
And that's been Blair Horner, Executive Director of NYPIRG, and this has been Mark Dunley for WOOC.